is introduce myself, and Kelly mentioned it with the individuals that participated. What has God done in your life? As I look out in here, what are the stories behind each person, each face? Then I want to introduce the audience. You're going to get to know each other in a unique way. And then I want to introduce the topic to you. Are you out of your mind? Now, what kind of topic is that? Had somebody walk in and say, are you out of your mind? What does that mean? So we will find out. And with that, we're going to have a challenge. I'm going to share just from my heart and challenge each and everybody in here to prepare and plan themselves to be out of their mind. So first me, Donald Bloom, I'm 53 years old, have been married for over 32 years, and have 12 children. Yes, praise God. Praise God. God has done amazing things in my life. God has blessed me well beyond any blessing I could have ever hoped for. Growing up in Western New York, yes, the Yankee in the room is up here near Niagara Falls. Growing up in a home and a community that, although they loved me, it was alcohol, it was cards, it was gambling, it was violence, it was immorality that was provided. Not by cousins, but by parents and grandparents. And you grow up in that life with never being in church, never being part of anything related to church, and the perception of God was an atheist, agnostic. Schools taught me that there was no God. There was no creation. My home life taught me there was no God, there was no creation. Home life taught me to partake in things that were, at the time I didn't know it, because when you grow up in a home, you don't know that there's anything different. Thankfully, I got stuck in a blizzard, and my dad said, we're done with the cold weather, we're moving to Athens, Georgia. In 1980, some of you may know the significance of that. But in Athens, Georgia, I was invited to church for the first time. And that was very intimidating and scary for a young boy that had grown up in a certain lifestyle. We were also low income, moderate income. I had no dress shirt. I had no dress shoes. And in the South, when you go to a function or a church, and everybody has nice clothes and you don't, you can see how I quickly did not want any part of that. So in a home that, although they loved each other, they demonstrated that love more by being around each other than truly anything I would call love. Thankfully, we've shown more of that later in life. And we've reconciled a lot of things. But as you grow up in that and you see what God is, and in my mind, God was simply a nice church, nice clothes, and look at that boy wearing shoes with holes in them without a dress shirt on. So I quickly went the other way. And if you're in a home with no direction as a 13-year-old, where do you go? You go the wrong direction very quickly. So I went the wrong direction and continued what I was taught from my grandparents and my parents and my uncles and aunts and lived that life. But praise God, one time in North Carolina, I started to play sports. So I liked sports. I liked basketball, baseball, and those sports. Somebody invited me to a camp where we were going to play sports. And I didn't know they were also going to share the gospel with you. That trick did work on me. So as we went there, this was the simple thing that happened to me. We were on break. We were playing those games you play at youth camps. And I just looked out over the mountains of North Carolina. Nobody said a word. I just looked out and said, something created this. The beauty and the glory of this was not just happening by an explosion or by some theory. This had to be created. Praise God with creation. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament His handiwork. And in that moment, I changed. I believed in God. That's not a Christian. That's someone that believes in God. Believed in creation, which is a miracle. As my sports continued, I got introduced to football. And growing up in a home that was that didn't play sports, we played cards. So if you know how to play euchre, I was really good at euchre. That's a northern game. As you play sports, football, back then, you didn't have football on every week night, every day, really. You had it on one day. And so I would watch that football. I'm trying to learn. You know, I got first practice, I had my football pads in the wrong places, and I was just messed up. So I'm learning this, and I happen to be watching a football game because I'm just like eating it up. I'm longing for 10 yards is a first down, 4 downs to make a first down. I'm just longing for linebacker, A gap, B gap. I mean, just that football jargon. And the team I was cheering for scored a touchdown. And they bring out the place kicker, and he kicks the extra point. And there's this guy with a frizzy, multicolored hair wig with a sign that says, John 3:16. That's it. Sitting there, you know, he's going like this. He is just... And I looked to my mom and I said, what is John 3:16? I don't understand how that, involves football. And she was, I'll forget, she was sitting in a little chair and she said, I think it's in the Bible. So that's the home life. Some reason she bought me a Bible that week and handed it to me. And so I looked up John 3:16 and I went to school and I asked a friend of mine, I said, I read John 3:16. And she could quote it. She quoted John 3:16 and it blew me away that she could quote that Bible verse that I'd never seen before that's in the Bible. So sometimes your neighbors, individuals you look at, you might say, why does that person do that? They don't know. They've not heard about God. My wife, Joy, we were in high school together, and my actions were so bad as a person that she wanted nothing to do with me, and she made it known. And so I veered away from her, but I actually was very interested in her. But she had zero interest in me, thankfully, at that time. So from there, I became a Christian. That John 3:16 led to hearing the gospel. I remember crying out one night, I want that, to someone that was with me. And he walked me through the gospel. I accepted Christ that night. Here's somebody that was in a church, fearful of church, despised the attack on me personally because of the clothing and everything. It was very intimidating. To that night, going in front of the church, saying, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I am born again, and I love God. And that's an amazing thing, from God's creation to somebody holding a sign to a friend in high school quoting a verse, led me to the Lord and allowed me to accept Jesus. And as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old Christian, I was saved. I was excited. God took away certain things from me immediately that were destructive. And that was it. No discipleship, no investigating the Bible, no studying the Bible. I just went from doing the wrong things to doing the right things. I went to church. I bought the right shoes and the right shirt and went to church. Joy eventually saw me at that church and said, okay, he's not as bad as I thought he was. We were married because I looked good at church. I mean, I smiled, I was joyful, I liked talking to people. I looked good. Zero spiritual growth. Zero. Maybe five. Not zero. And I'm probably spending too long on this, but I want you, some of you may resonate with this. As a young married, we got married at 20. She thought, I have got a godly husband. We are going to have a godly marriage. She didn't know me. She didn't know my heart. So that's a warning, too. That's a warning. I was not the Christian leader or man that someone should be at marriage. And I'm going to share a little bit about how God turned that later in life to an active part of my Christian walk. God has shown me through a couple significant events, and Dr. Force touched on this yesterday, do you trust the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you live the Word of God? God allowed me to see that, confess, repent, and be convinced in my heart and my mind that I need to do the things of Christ, and my current mission is to love my wife, and has been my mission for the last 15 years, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, you guys are going through that at church. Please, men, stay focused on that part. And it's to put joy in our home so that my family members will see a believer, a dad that is joyful for the Lord, that will see a marriage that is critical and important and loving and very fruitful, I might add, in a lot of ways. And they see that. And you might think, parents, that no, maybe you shouldn't hug your wife and pat her on the back and pinch her or whatever. And your kids will go, oh, we got to leave. And I love that. I love that interaction. I love our children seeing that. And the mission is to make an impact, eternal impact on the community and the workplace that I am in. God put me in charge of a company several years ago that has grown to over 750 employees. We've had 3,000 employees in our history. We've had the ability to reach out to over 10,000 people for the gospel through work, and we're real excited about that as a mission. So now I'm going to introduce the audience. And I've got a debate this year. If normally there's like three times more, I'm going to say girls, but I mean young women, girls than guys. So if you're unmarried young woman from 2 to 30, please yell as loud as you can. And I know you don't want to, but yell it because you're in competition. Let me hear you yell. Just say, woo! All right, young men, the same age group. Come on, bring it. Let me hear you yell, woo! Yeah! All right, ladies, I'm going to give you one more chance. Yell, woo! Now, all right, I think there might be more young men this year. I don't know if that's a number we'd like to that'd be interesting. There's a lot of young men out there, and I love that. The sermon taught yesterday was just, you got to grab hold of that. So, we've got three types of people in here. We've got the saints, and we'll look at that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. We've got saints. And when I say saints, I mean we've got the fellow brethren in here. You love the Lord. You not only love the Lord, but you live each day pouring your heart into God's presence and to live in your life. And I know that as I look around here, you are just sold out. You are committed. You have developed your entire life around your faith walk with the Lord Jesus. And that directs your paths. Then there's some in here, like I was, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm here for whatever reason, but I don't want anything to do with that. Let me just get through this and go on. And I hope there's a conviction. See God's glory was my start. And for the third part of this group, I need a volunteer. And if I don't get a volunteer, I will call on somebody. But I'm going to pick Austin Harmon since he said he wouldn't do it. Y'all give him a round of applause. Come on up, Austin. All right. So as we do this, you don't have to wear this. I was just showing it. I think I scared him. I was going to ask him to wear this. I actually bought this for my wife for Christmas, and I think that may have been the, come on up, Austin. That may have been the worst gift of all time. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie footy. So if somebody would like a hoodie footy, my wife just looked at me and cracked up laughing, and so it just, I don't know. I'm not good at buying gifts. But I will ask Austin to put this on. And he's going to imitate a cat for us. All right, there you go. That's good. Okay, that's good enough. All right, give him a round of applause. All right, you can go. You can keep it. Yeah, you can keep it. Austin is officially the fastest man in this camp. Fastest. And if you don't believe it, I will back Austin. 4.440 when he played at Valdosta State. But when he was up here as a cat doing the very good acting, he's not a cat. No matter how much he convinced you that he was a cat, he was just a man wearing a cat's head. In our home, it's kind of fun to take that outside when they're doing the dishes and at night and just sit there. And then they finally look up and they... I'm scared. We shouldn't do that, but that's being joyful in the home. All right, so the third group of people, as you look around, don't really look around, as you sense, discern those around you, you're a fraud. You're living a life that doesn't indicate what you say you are or believe. And I was a fraud for 15 years, so I know frauds. You might play an instrument. You might sing. You might be active in church. You might work real hard. That is an outside character of somebody that loves the Lord. They work hard. And they work hard without complaint. Add that last one. You may do all of those things, but in your heart, in your mind, your longings are not for the Lord. If there wasn't people around you making you do certain things, which are good things, you wouldn't do them. And you're at a dangerous point. You're at a very, very dangerous point to deny Christ with your mind, with your thoughts, with your heart on a daily basis is like giving an ultimatum to God. So there's three parts of our audience. And the cat visual is to say, you can't tell. I can't, sitting here, I can't tell. We could talk by the basketball court. I can't tell. In fact, there's been individuals here at the Shindig that have said they believe certain things and wanted certain things, and their life went completely away from that. Dr. Forrest shared a little bit about what he goes in and on up here. We didn't talk later, but a lot of individuals, fathers, mothers, children, all of them, have just said, I don't want that. I'm going this way. And when they go that way, It's just not a few feet away. It's on a total denial of Christ, and they glorify their denial of Christ. And they love to tell people on social media why they're denying Christ. Now, a theological look at that is for another time. But I will say, I was right there. I was at church. I was on the committees. Joy and I were at church probably 8 times a week. And I had a private life, if exposed, that would indicate I was denying Christ daily. I was not seeking Christ daily. I was denying Christ. I had to work hard to move away from it. And so my challenge, as we get going here, and Dr. Forrest, he didn't realize he was going to keep me up all night by one thing he said yesterday, but he did. Do I trust the Word? Then that's for you. Do you trust the Word? Yes, I trust the Word. Are you living out? Are you seeking the Word? Are you living out your actions to the Word? I had a young man that we were at a thing, and he said, hey, we were talking about things as a group, and he said, hey, I want to pray more. And I said, Ross, no, you don't. And he was offended. He was like 25 years old. He was offended. He goes, what do you mean? I want to pray more. I go, if you wanted to pray more, you would be praying more. It's not I want to. It's what are you doing? So the conviction, and this may be, I may have to shorten part of this at the end, but the conviction is this. The things that are the longings in your heart, the Bible tells us, the longings, the things you really enjoy without people knowing, that's where you are headed. You are driven to those things. So I want to work on the life skill this morning of attention and intention. And the topic is, are you out of your mind? And that, you've heard that, maybe you're talking, you hear people argue, are you out of your mind? Or they're yelling at each other at an event, or it's something with police, something. And that's taken in a way that's negative. But I'm before you imploring you that that is exactly where we need to be. We need to be out of our mind and in the mind of Christ daily. We need to be walking faithfully, not to the desires of our flesh and not to the things that have captivated our minds because we've put them there. But take a deep search of your heart this week. Take a deep search. As you sit here now, as you walk this week, and you say you're a saint, you say you're a believer, you say you love Christ, does your daily life indicate thoughts, mind? And I'm not talking the emotional part. Thoughts and mind, are they driven to be in the presence of God, in His Word, in His prayer, and other actions? We want to be about the mind of Christ, to enjoy, to be obedient to God's Word. We want to do the things that God tells us we need to do. As we go, if you will, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians 4. And I'm going to read a few of the verses there, but I didn't get to share what kept me up all night. So Dr. Forrest said, do you believe the Word? Do you trust the Word? And he lovingly said, I'm not sure if you do. And it was actually, after reading this 200 times, Philippians 4, 3, and then we'll read the main text that I want to cover. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. And I read that one more time last night. Do I help those? All right, Scripture is going to be either written to us or for us. We know that. This is for me. Am I helping the other fellow laborers? Am I helping? And my challenge last night was I'm not. In certain areas, I was just like, this is an area that I've fallen short. At our church, I've had our pastor and different people just lovingly say what we're doing, and as a church, and the desire, and to be around others, and I just go, well, that's good, and move on. That was my conviction last night, is I don't help like I should. So let's, I'm going to read chapter Philippians 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. You can meditate on that for a long time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now there's the imperative in these concluding exhortations by Paul in the book of Philippians. As you read through it, this is like the meat of his letter in my mind. This is the end of the story. This is how he wants to leave his impression upon the saints. And the imperatives of rejoice, prayer, thanksgiving in 4 through 6. I truly believe an unmitigated joy is or should be the mark of a believer in Christ Jesus. And I think you can agree there's times that we're around brethren, we're around fellow believers, and there's no joy. There's no joy in them. There's no joy in the home. There's complaint. There's just not joyfulness. And I'm not saying happiness now. This is joyfulness. So let's strive for that. This was a life lesson for me. It was the skill of attention and intention. God put on my heart after I woke up just angry, like for a few months, and not angry where I'm throwing things around, but I would just wake up and would see joy, and joy would say something, and I would go, well, why? You know, and I would just like jump on her from a verbal angry, and I just would, you know, leave and go, I don't know why I did that. So I made the choice. I said, every morning I get up, I'm going to be joyful to my wife. Every morning. And guess what happened? She just like flourished. But that was a choice. That should be a mark of a godly husband, that joyfulness. A truly godly person longs for God's presence and lives in God's presence. The focus verse for me was really Philippians 4:8. And as I've read this hundreds and hundreds of times, I'm like, on these things, God, he tells us through Paul, he says, if any of these things are happening, think on these things. What do you think on? What do you routinely and daily think on? And we are good. Men are real good of thinking of things that they want to do and will do. Yesterday it was mentioned $40,000 in the backyard. People would go dig, 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 dig and rent backhoes and do whatever it took. And I've seen men give all energy to do that. There is a place in Arkansas where they tell you there's diamonds there and you can go dig for probably not free, but there's hundreds of people out there just digging for these diamonds. So we will. Those things that we see in our heart, we're going to go do. But a person may deliberately choose to think on these things. Pure, honest, just, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we do with this? What do we do with God's word here? How do we take the obedience that starts with our will to follow? And how do we live that out daily? And are we living it out daily? We need that check, that discernment. Are we truly walking faithfully? And I love verse 9. It's just those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. That's a powerful two-letter word, do. And I think some of the speakers will say, we don't see doing of our brethren. I did not do things that I do now, but I didn't do then because I just had other things in my life. We need an intense interest to be of the mind of Christ. And as we have our time, what have you filled your life with? What keeps you up at night thinking about things? What keeps you up during the day? There is a good coffee roasters around the corner so that I found. So that's, what is your daily thought life like? Young men and women, but this is, I've seen older men and women just as guilty. We fill our lives and our thoughts with things that don't allow us to get closer to God, and they quickly take us away from it. Informational technology was mentioned yesterday. These things have a purpose, but not in our hearts and minds at the level. Whatever you apply attention and intention, great things will happen. I am amazed how quickly we fall away with our hearts and our minds. But the inner man, we want to be like-minded with the one, this is to the saints and those that are struggling. We want to be like-minded with the one who shed his blood on the cross to remove us from the grip of Satan and the evils of this world. We want to be like-minded with the one who died for us so that we can have the desire to look at eternity with God as a greater value than anything we have on earth. Whether you're 5 or 55, we want to be as fast away from the attacks of Satan and the things that cause us to depart from that longing of Christ. We want to quickly condition ourselves to move away from that and move towards Christ. And some reason we're hanging on to those things. We are hanging on. Why? Why do we hang on to those things that quickly destroy us? We want to live daily with the hope, contentment, peace, and comfort from the blood of the cross with our Savior Jesus Christ, glorifying and being sanctified and developing our life and our mind and our heart so that we walk daily by that. We walk, we live that, we walk that. That's our light. We can't say, I want to take our light somewhere. This is our light. The inner man is going to develop the outward. this. You do not want to hang on to anything that is that causes us to draw away from God, draw away from the person, the son that we look to, that I looked in North Carolina Mountain and said, something created this. God created this. His son Jesus died for me. I can be good. I can say certain things. But until I ask and trust in Jesus for salvation in my heart and remove myself from the world, I am going to hell. But once I've done that, I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you to direct your paths. But we will quench that. For me, it was business or greed, sports, talk shows. I would pop in the car, turn on a talk show, drive an hour and a half, get out, and I was mad. I have no idea why I was mad. And it's the first person I've seen. I was like, don't say the wrong thing to me. And I, what is that? Well, let me take the hour and a half car ride and let me just hang on to some things. Let me hang on to some things over here. Sports talk show. Talk show. I despised quietness. In the peak of my fraud, I did not want to be alone with no noise. I wanted something to bring into, does this sound familiar? To bring into my mind. I wanted something to entertain me, something to direct my thoughts. I was also, as a man, as a husband, and as a business leader, I was walking like aimlessly. Well, how do I determine a vision? How do I, know what God's will for me is? It's clouded. You don't know. You can't see it. You can't receive it. But we can be out of our mind every day and in the mind of Christ. We can choose each day to remove those things. And if you really don't know what they are, talk to someone close to you. But more than likely, you know exactly those things that have encompassed your heart, that have taken priority of at least your thought life with the Lord. So in the sake of time, I've got five things that I want to encourage you with. One of the songs, the sermon, we need warriors. The Roman soldiers conquered the world because, they locked their arms, and they marched together against vastly superior armies, but they were united. They were united and they walked together. And they were able to conquer the world because they developed themselves as warriors. That just didn't happen, by the way. They had to have leadership, they had to have authority, they had to have a reason. They had to have training day in, day out to be able to make that quick decision with thousands of soldiers coming at you from another army. So be still. Here are the five things. Be still and know God. Remove noise from your life. Learn to be really good at being quiet. Take one verse. Take one section of one verse. Read it. And just soak. Just let God speak to you. Be quiet. Be still. Remove those things that keep your mind filtered. As in my testimony, as I did that, God removed things that were just clouded in my mind, and I could see things and I could be in the presence of God. God, what does this verse mean? I'm supposed to be help the co-laborers. What is that? Am I doing that? And God will quickly give you a vision of parts of your life that you need to do. Repent and cry out. For some reason, believers are afraid sometimes to take an area that's dragging them down to repent of that and to cry out to God. I mean, literally, God, I'm in just total despair. I can't do this, and it's just tearing me up, and I can only do it with you, Lord. I can't do it. Have you ever had that despair in your life? Have you ever had that moment where, I mean, you're just like, the world is causing chest pains and bad thoughts and just lack of confidence or lack of understanding in whether it's a death of a family member, you know, a business dealing, probably the worst are, you know, friction in church. That seems to create more despair. Whatever those things are, you know, I was just taught, Donald, just toughen up and fight through it. No. Cry out, God, I am weak and lonely, and I can only make it with you, God. Please, please walk me through this. God gave me victory over some sin in my life because of that. But God, I'm in the presence of God with my struggles. I'm not in the presence of the world and myself. Three, remove those things that draw you away from the Lord. What are those things? Write them down. There are things that are pulling you away. I could list five or six major ones over this last year that I have heard thousands and thousands of fellow believers talk about that has nothing to do with the gospel, has nothing to do with the mind of Christ. Those aren't bad things, but they shouldn't encompass our life so much that that's all we can do. Sometimes it's the little things. One of the marriage testimonies for a fruitful marriage that Joy and I developed somehow by God's grace and by God's just, by Joy's prayers for me, is two things. And these are, I would say, Joy and I am as blessed and fulfilled a man as a husband could be. There is not one area that I don't feel like that Joy has walked faithfully in as a wife. Not one area. Two lessons. Choose not to take offense. Choose not to take offense. You're going to be offended. You might be offended here. You know a real warrior? A warrior is somebody that could stand in front of something, get hit in the face, and walk the other way. You may be offended that someone just popped you in the mouth. When I say that figuratively, somebody may have just stolen something from you. You just got a police ticket. How dare those guys write me a ticket? I mean, I've heard it all. I mean, we've all said it all. Take that. You may be offended. Take it and give it to the Lord. So Joy and I's commitment to each other is, we're not going to take offense to it. We're not going to say, I'm not going to say, why did she do that? That makes no sense. What? God taught me this. Take that emotion, that frustration, and make a choice to not live in it. So, well, you know what God does? I just forget it. And I've learned that with other people now. Somebody just did something bad to me. Oh, that's okay. God, I'm going to give it over. And I have no serious or even continual things where I just think, why did that person do that? How come that's not fair? It's not just. It's not right. I can make it right, just, and fair, and true by thinking on the things of Christ. Set in your heart these things. Set in your heart the things of the Lord, the things that you heard yesterday, the things you're going to hear the rest of this week. Invest intensely with all your power as a person. Invest in those things. Invest. Spend time. That's the biggest investment you can make. Make sure your heart wants is longing for that investment with God. Our inner man, our inward, our person, we're responsible. We are. Nobody can do it for me. I can't change any one of you. You know who can change Donald Bloom? Who can choose to change? We know the spiritual answer. Through God's power, God is greater than all. God has given us victory over these areas. But we have to choose that. Take responsibility for your life, your decisions, your thought. Take your thoughts captive. And intensely, I mean with all vigor, prepare yourself to be a warrior by being strong in mind. That's not a negative term. Because you are now out of your mind and into the mind of Christ. Be strong of Christ's mind daily. Settledness means, just like the beautiful instruments playing up here, if she played the solo again, and she has to look at every note and play a note and look at a note and play a note, probably it's not going to sound real good, would it? But she can just have, oh, I know the next note, and it flows in a godly, orderly, beautiful way. The more you can do that with your life and you're settled in your heart, you will build habits. Those habits for young and old will help remove you from the grip of the world and the grip of Satan and draw you closer to God. So think on the things of the Lord. Strengthen your mind. And as you build out those habits, your physical desires also will come along. So it's 10:30. I don't know how it worked out that way, but praise God. I just want to really thank the Oxendines for having this again. I think yesterday was probably the most beautiful day I've ever been at one of these. And I, thanks to the Lord, I was able to wade out in the water of this lake, look at a sky that God created, and spend 30 minutes in nothing but God's presence. No noise. No distractions. My father died, and I had to pull the plug. And we had our family that I've talked about a little bit, all in one room. There's a lot of other situations going on there. But we were of one mind in that room at that moment. It was the singing a hymn. As you pull the plug, I mean, when they pull the plug, they really pull the plug. Didn't know that. That was a moment where I was just in the presence of God praying, and there could have been 100,000 people, but it was my family that was with there during the death of a dad that may have come to know the Lord right at the end of his life. You guys, think on these things. I was at a lake with the most beautiful sky, caught two bass, and just enjoyed seeing the kids all around God's creation that were specifically put here at this time in this life for everything that's going on. You're specifically here for a reason. And it's not to hold on to the things that are of this changing world. It's to hold on to the mind of Christ and to live that daily. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we love you. We thank you. I'm touched just by the beloved in here, by the saints, by the hearts, by the attention to the words. God, it's not easy to sit for an hour and hear things like this. But my prayer is that we don't lose this, that we take captive our thoughts. We give over our thoughts to you, Lord. We direct them with your word. We direct them with prayer and thanksgiving. And we put these things that are pure and just and good, we put these things into our life and into our minds. And that we'll do with those things that you put in there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.